Ladies and gentlemen of the Festi, are you having an enjoyable Sunday? I know we've had a schedule change. Just want to get everyone updated as to what we're doing here. Joan Osborne is here on site. She had some travel issues that we were moving around, but she's here. As you may know, Joan Osborne has just come out with an amazing record featuring some of her favorite Bob Dylan tunes. So everyone come in. We sort of moved the schedule around because the schedule is mixed up and she has to fly out again tonight. What we're going to do first is focus on Nick Forrester is going to come up in a second, and he's going to introduce the band and interview them about the new record, and then Joan is going to play her performance. So everything's going to stay right here. The E-Town session is not happening up there. Everyone, come on in, get settled in. I've been trying to convince Nick Forrester to do something else with the E-Town. I think E-Town is one of the most amazing and widespread brands that exist. I think it's the integrity over a long period of time is undeniable, and its reach into communities through music devices called radios. It has a culture, and I've been trying to convince him to do more with it, but he's so protective of the brand, he resisted and resisted and resisted. And then I heard that he and Danny Barnes are doing a project together. I wanted to have Danny back at the fest. He invited them to come together, and I convinced Nick to consider doing a few interviews. And I hope everyone's been enjoying the E-Town sessions up at the top stage, and I hope that Nick decides to come back and do it again. We'll see. Depends. He's been working pretty hard. He's been doing a lot. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, Nick Forrester!
Michael, thank you. Hello, check test 1, 2. This turns out to be me, I guess. Is this on? You guys hear that okay? Okay, thank you, and thanks for letting E-Town, in whatever way it can, come to Festi. I've been having a really good time sleeping in a yurt. I just want to say that we had a scheduled thing, as Michael mentioned, but we're just going to take a few minutes and talk with Joan and her band about the new project, and then they're going to play this awesome set. So this is just going to be like slightly different. So we're going to start out getting a little insight, and then you'll get to hear the songs with some fresh understanding. So if you don't mind, I just want to mention that Joan Osborne is one of my favorite singers. She came onto the scene, of course, in 1995 with her band, her album Relish, the song One of Us. That's sort of where most of us were introduced to her. But she had already been in New York City playing with all kinds of great, talented musicians like the Holmes Brothers and others. She went on, of course, to continue to record and write and perform and reflect her passion for her hometown, New York City. Many of you know that she also was a member of The Dead and toured in that capacity for a while. During that time, she has always been interested in poetry, in language, and being a fan, particularly of the borough of Brooklyn. She was drawn to Walt Whitman's poetry and, of course, Bob Dylan's poetry. And so it's a natural evolution for her to be a New Yorker, to be a person who's creative, who's just got an incredible instrument as a singer to embrace the Bob Dylan project. But again, I just feel like we're all lucky to hang out with her. Many of you may have seen her in the movie Standing in the Shadows of Motown, in which she just demonstrated that it is about soul and connection to the music, and it isn't about color. She killed it in that movie. So, and that's, if you haven't seen that, it's definitely worth checking out. Obviously, I'm excited. Hope you are too. Please welcome to the stage Joan Osborne.
Hey, Festi.
Oh, man. From Kentucky to New York to Festi. That's a straight line, actually, kind of.
What a journey it's
been. Yeah, what a journey so far.
I want to talk to you about my journey.
Yeah. I want to talk to you.
How you doing? You're sleeping in a yurt?
Yeah. I'm eating kombucha. I'm drinking kombucha.
Uh-huh.
Sleeping in a yurt.
Okay.
I made up a new drink while I was here.
Okay.
Moonbucha.
Okay.
It's kombucha with moonshine.
That sounds really...
That's catchy. I know.
See, we just flew in from New York this morning, so we're like, you know, we're not completely drenched in sweat yet and covered in dust. And, you know, Nick's got the I've been here, done that thing. And we'll get there, hopefully, by the end of the show. But we're sort of like,
Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. So there have been, as I mentioned, many chapters and iterations, and it's such a great journey and path. And all along, it's been the songs, it's been your connection to the songs, your ability to kind of express the songs. But I want to ask you a little bit about how, other than the obvious, the Dylan Project came about. Of course, I suspect that when you were with the Dead, you crossed paths with his Bobness.
Yes, actually, yeah, he was one of the co-headliners of that tour. So he was on that tour with us for like, I guess, a month and a half. And the other half of it was Willie Nelson. So I got a chance to, rub elbows with, some great geniuses and got a chance to sing a little bit with Bob when he came in and sat in with the Dead for our set. And then also he invited me to sing with him a little bit during his set, so it was just an amazing honor and privilege and moments of a lifetime, really. So
let me go back to you growing up in Kentucky and just ask you about the kinds of things you were listening to and whether that was part of the soundtrack of your coming into a musical life.
You know, it wasn't so much. You know, I didn't listen to a lot of Bob Dylan or a lot of Grateful Dead when I was growing up, and please don't start throwing things at me. I really sort of came to it later in my evolution, and it was when I started doing music seriously in New York City, which I sort of stumbled upon this amazing scene of a lot of blues music, but also folk and rock and roll and things that were happening in New York City in the club scene at that time. Let me take a moment to introduce these guys as well, because they were with me at that point. This is Jack Petrozelli on guitar. And Mr. Keith Cotton on the keyboards. And both of these guys are, by the way, co-producers of this new Songs of Bob Dylan record. But we first met each other pretty much on that scene of playing in these clubs and bars. And a lot of these clubs are situated down in the Village. So on the one hand, you've kind of got Dylan's ghost wandering around with the clubs that he used to play in are still operating, and then you also can't walk down Bleecker Street on a Friday night without hearing somebody play a Bob Dylan song. And you know, at that point I was really trying to educate myself, because I never went to school to study music, so I was trying to educate myself about blues and about soul and about R&B. And of course there's a lot of great blues artists who cover Bob Dylan, and if you dig into songwriting in any way, you're gonna hit Dylan, like, you know, he's level one, so, you know, in learning about what great songwriting is. So it really was a little bit later on that I became so enamored with him and his work.
What about the poetry? Were you already a student of poetry and thinking about, did you know about the Beat Poets and Allen Ginsberg and that stuff? Was that something you paid attention to before that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I came to that from like a film background. I moved from Kentucky to New York City to study filmmaking at New York University. So I learned a lot about directors like Federico Fellini and Truffaut and these amazing European art film directors. And of course, they were referencing a lot of poetry, and we studied a little bit of poetry in relation to that. And and that kind of got me really into it. And also, you know, living in Brooklyn, you understand that he is sort of the bard of Brooklyn. And, you know, in public spaces, you have Walt Whitman poems, you know, in the sidewalk and stuff like that. So it's hard to avoid his genius.
Let me open it up to either Jack or Keith, too. But the connection and the direction to choose a record of Dylan songs is not surprising. The challenge is A, which ones to choose, and B, how to make them yours.
Yeah.
So how did you approach that for this project?
Are you asking these guys?
I'm opening it up to them if they're feeling rambunctious.
Hey guys.
Thank you, Nick. I guess the short answer is we just tried them all. We tried a lot of them. We probably learned 50 songs. There's 13 on the record, and there's some more that are in the can. But one refrain that kept ringing through the whole experience, every time we tried a new song, Joan would have an idea, and one of us would bring up a song, and then we'd find a key, play through the song, and then stop and just go, wow, that's a great song. Every single time.
Yeah, there was a moment, yeah.
Yeah, that guy can write a song.
Yeah, a great song, yeah.
It was an embarrassment of riches in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think there is a pile of crappy Bob Dylan songs in a garbage can somewhere that's like the ones that, because people were actually going through his garbage and looking for scraps of paper. I mean, Do you think, because his batting average is pretty damn
good. It's pretty high, yeah. Well, I mean, I as much as I love Bob Dylan, there's also some, you can look on his records and also see some work that's like, not genius level. And in a way, I appreciated that, because when I was trying to write songs, if you look at a figure like this and you only look at their best, most amazing songs, you get so intimidated that you feel like, I could never do this. But if you dig a little deeper and you're like, oh, there's a song that he wrote that kind of isn't brilliant, and it's kind of more just kind of so maybe that's all right, that not, even a great genius is going to have an off day, so I think that's a good thing.
I want to just let everybody know we're not going to do this for a long time. There's a lot of music coming and we're going to get right to it, but I did want to give just a little bit of time to set it up and get a sense of how you got to this particular project.
Yeah.
I had such a good question in my mind, and now it's that moon butcha is getting to me.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about why we chose to do this now. If you are you interested in?
Oh, I know what it was. I was wondering whether she's so helpful.
What a pro.
She never leaves me hanging. Joan has been on E-Town many times, and. Oh, I feel better and a little sweatier. I was going to ask you about whether or not, having spent the time and learning all those songs and experimenting and choosing the songs and recording the songs and making them yours, whether it was either sort of vindication or what your reaction was when he received the Nobel Prize for Literature. Did that make you think, oh, now everybody's going to do this? Or did you make you think like, well...
I did kind of have a moment of like, oh, dang it, the record's not out yet. And all the other singers are going to now come out with their version of, Bob Dylan tunes. But, my favorite quote about... of course, it's wonderful that Bob Dylan, if you don't know, was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature, not this year, but last year in 2016. And my favorite quote about that is from Leonard Cohen, who said, it's like pinning a medal on Mount Everest. It's kind of like, the achievement is what it is, and, you have a relationship to it, whether he wins Nobel or Grammys or whatever there is out there to win. It's just... He's pretty singular just in what he's done, no matter who notices. So,
I agree. Everybody does. Last thing I'm going to ask you is the thing that I asked you a little earlier, which is once you decide to do it, once you're in the studio, you've got the songs picked out, I'm presuming that the record isn't as sparse as your presentation today. Is there more stuff in it, or is it just you guys?
Well,
just
there's some of the songs are trio-based, because This is how we developed the material. We were doing a residency at a place called the Cafe Carlyle in New York City. So a lot of it is this sort of arrangement here. But then we also, we know great musicians, and I have a great full band that I've worked with. So we got them into the studio as well. So I guess it's about half and half between full band and more stripped down approaches.
I think it's also a testament to your skill as an artist and as a person that you can hang out with these guys for as long as you have, 35 plus years or whatever it is you've been.
God, has it really been that long?
Who's counting?
30. It's got to be 30, yeah.
92 or 90-something? 88.
Yeah, 1988 was the first time we played together. Oh, my God. Wow. How is it that almost you still look so good?
That's because he plays in a Beatles cover band.
That's true, he does, yeah. There's a group called the Fab Four, which is arguably the world's greatest Beatle cover band, which Jack is in, and they play all around the world, and, you know. So.
Listen, I'm
we're not going to let you talk. I'm sorry, yeah.
You want to talk a little bit?
If you haven't gotten this record, get this record, this Dylan record that Joan did, because it's just an amazing, amazing combination of her voice and these songs, and it's just beautiful. So, get it.
Nice. He said what we cannot. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome to the stage here at Festi, along with Jack Petruzzelli and Keith Cotton, Joan Osborne.
Thank you.
so much. All right, so you know, one of the things that we were trying to do with this record is make sure that we selected some songs from throughout Bob Dylan's writing career, because many people, of course, are familiar with the things that he did in the 1960s or the 1970s, but that's a song that he wrote in 2001. It's a brilliant record called Love and Theft. Amazing, amazing song. We also wanted to do some stuff from really early in his career, and this, I believe, is from either 1962 or 1963. It is a song from a record called Another Side of Bob Dylan. You know, as Keith was saying before, we, in the process of working on this record, we learned a lot more Dylan songs and worked up a lot more songs than we had room for on an album. So we like to include some things which are really kind of like live-only bonus tracks, just for the people who come to see the show. So you can't stream it, you can't download it, you cannot buy it in any store. In order to hear this, you have to be here with us right now.
Thank you.
Of course, one of the things that we tried to do in making this record was to try to do something fresh with the songs and give them some unique arrangements so that we weren't just copying what someone else had already done with them, because really, what's the point? Why wouldn't you just go back and buy that Bob Dylan record again? So there's a song which is probably, I think, maybe Dylan's best known song, if not one of them, and I think it was his biggest hit on pop radio. So because everyone is so familiar with it, we really felt like we had to do something very different with it. So we've done that. And let's see, you know, it's up to you to decide whether it's a fresh, original interpretation or whether we've just ruined it. We'll make it that your choice, but let's see how long it takes you to figure out what song we're playing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good. Thank you for the assist at the end. I mean, it really would not have been the same without you, so. How about that Jack Petrozelli on the guitar? How about that Keith Cotton over there on the keyboards? All right, so this song is, it's one from a beautiful record of Dylan's called Time Out of Mind, which came out in the late 80s. And it's one of my favorite songs. And in fact, we were recently, I guess a few months ago, we were down in Texas playing an outdoor festival there. And another one of my favorite writers, Miss Lucinda Williams. She was there and she also does a wonderful version of this song. But she's not here right now, so.
I was riding in a buggy with Miss Mary Jane. Miss Mary Jane's got a house down in Baltimore. I've been all around the world, boys, I'm trying to get to heaven before they close the door. Pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're alone. you're dead.
You know, I wish that that song weren't so relevant to us right now, but I can't think of another song that speaks so directly to what we're all facing right now as a country and as a world. And you know, these are the kind of moments that we are living through right now, where we need our great artists and our great poets to help us put language to the things that we're feeling. And you know, and it's, you know, music has, it has that function for us right now, and it also has the function to renew us when we feel discouraged and when we feel like there's no hope. We can look to our favorite music to give us the spirit to go on in difficult times, when we're all trying to be good citizens and participate at a moment where no one really knows what's going to happen, but we know we have to try, we have to work towards something more positive for our country. And music is something that can help us rally around the cause and help renew us in this moment. So I think we should all remember that. Obviously, you guys know because you're here today, but let's take that knowledge with us back out into our communities and into the wider world, that we have some tools at our hands to help us get through these times and to help renew us to get back to work on all the work that we have to do right now. So that's my soapbox. All right, and of course, thanks Bob Dylan for, you know, leaving us with these amazing songs and that we can all turn to in this moment. And of course, he's known for writing political songs, but you know, Bob Dylan is also able to write beautiful, tender love songs, and this one from the Blood on the Tracks record is one of my favorites. Bye. is a bust. All you can do is do what you must. You do what you must do, and you do it well. I do it for you, honey, baby, can't you tell? Thank you. I don't know, are we over our time at this point, or no, we're good? Cool, all right, no, we're good. Early one morning, the sun was shining, I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed at all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they set our lives together, sure was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress, Papa's backpack wasn't big enough. I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading up for the East Coast, Lord knows I'll pay some dues, getting through. thought you'd never say hello. She said, you know, you look like a silent type. Then she opened up a book of poems and she handed it to me, written by an Italian poet from the 15th century. And every one of them words rang true and blew like burning coal, pouring off of every page like it was written in my soul. Jack Petruzzelli on guitar. Keith Cotton on keyboards. Thank you so much.
Bestie.
You're our bestie. Oh.
You got a minute? Can you get more of that, please?
You might be the head of some big TV network.
Thank you so much. We got time for one more. We're going to bring Nick Forster up with us, and he's... I'm not sure if he's got a friend with him or not, but... Please welcome Danny Barnes to the stage. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bestie. Thank y'all. Have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks for having us.
Joan Osborne.
Danny Barnes, everybody. Right now on the main stage, we've got the Jerry Douglas Band. Go check it out, you guys. We'll see you back here 6:30 for Love Cannon. Hey? Yeah? I'll see you then.